The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to The Trumpet Daily. You can get the live stream at our website, thetrumpet.com/live, and you can also send us some feedback, td@kpcg.fm. We've got quite a few emails stacking up, but we also have quite a lot of material to get to every day. One of these days, though, we'll catch up on some viewer feedback. I guess this coincides with the trial going on in Minneapolis, the autonomous zone, similar to what I guess they had in Seattle last summer. They've set one up around the area where George Floyd died. So it's not an insurrection or anything like that. Don't worry about it. It's just the left-wing radicals taking over a part of the city. I think it was Tucker Carlson recently who said that shooting deaths. Minneapolis has seen a 250% increase in shootings since last year. Just since last year. Defund the police. That's what we were told. When the city went up in flames, we were told the solution was to take away law enforcement. And now you see how they've taken a completely different approach with Washington, D.C. and the so-called insurrection on January the 6th. The one that lasted, you remember the one that suspended activities in Congress for 4 hours. 4 hours. No burning, no shooting except from a police officer, nothing. Just some vandalism and a lot of tourists that were going through Congress taking snapshots, taking selfies. This is Minneapolis now, today. And then you have the case itself and the jury and all of them that are being asked questions by the lawyers saying, look, we fear for our lives here. It's going to be virtually impossible to have a fair trial, and we're not here to predict how it's going to turn out, but it certainly could be another powder keg for sure. We know from that Time Magazine article that they had their activists standing by, ready to take to the streets in case Trump won. They had the rioters. They had the looters prepared. They admitted it. They admitted it to Time Magazine. And, of course, they had a lot of other things going on that night of the election as well, including a lot of cheating in swing states, swing counties, swing districts. This is from Just the News. It says a Wisconsin GOP state senator is calling for the mayor of Green Bay to resign after an investigation into the handling of the November 2020 election. So why would he call upon this Green Bay mayor to step down? Well, it says State Senator Roger Roth on Tuesday called for Mayor Eric Genrich to resign, citing concerns that his and other Democratic-leaning cities in Wisconsin received grants to help administer elections. It says here the investigation stems from one county clerk who claims the central counting location was tainted by the influence of a person working for an outside organization affecting the election. This is from Just the News. Here's a local report. This is Fox 11. I'm not sure if this is in Green Bay or somewhere else in Wisconsin. But listen to this report about the shenanigans that went on in Wisconsin on November the 3rd and 4th. Clip 11.
Republican State Representative Shea Sortwell says he's talked with at least 8 people so far who have concerns with the way Green Bay ran the November election, primarily the central count operation at the KI Convention Center.
We need to dig into this, and we need to make sure it's a fair and open election.
Sortwell says the chair of the Assembly's Elections Committee asked him to lead the Green Bay investigation. He says that request was made after Brown County Clerk Sandy Juneau emailed the Wisconsin Elections Commission on Election Day. In part of the email, Juneau says she believes the central count location is tainted by the influence of a person working for an outside organization affecting the election. Juno claims the person was there as part of the more than $1 million grant the city received from Center for Tech and Civic Life.
That's not standard practice to have a third party so involved. It's also not standard practice to have be taking money from third party groups to run elections.
A lot of not standard practices that went on, getting money from a third party and then the third party involved in the election process even. This is from the article. It says, you heard some of this in the report. Sandy Juno, the county clerk in question, claims the person she saw was there as part of a $1.09 million grant the city received from Center for Tech and Civic Life, a group working to modernize U.S. elections. It says here her claims were backed up by a Wisconsin Election Commission's attorney who said that the outside consultant was pre-approved. So this group that provided funding to supposedly modernize the election process, it's the Center for Tech and Civic Life. Here's what it says at the website Ballotpedia. It's about this group. It says Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan announced on September 1st that they were providing $300 million in funding to support nonprofits to provide assistance to city and county election offices, with $250 million going to CTCL. That's the Center for Tech and Civic Life. This same group mentioned in the Just the News piece. So here is Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, providing all, and this was brought out too in the Time Magazine article. You just start putting all of the dots together, and it tells a pretty compelling story, doesn't it? About the steal of the century, election fraud through and through. Well, not all over the place, just in the key counties and states. Just in certain areas where Joe Biden got an incredible amount of support. Everywhere else, nobody was enthused. Nobody was excited. But in these key counties, here's what it says again about this group, with $50 million going to the Center for Election Innovation and Research. So Zuckerberg funding these organizations, and then these organizations sending in not only money, but in the case of this county around Green Bay, I think it's Brown County, there was a Democrat activist who was given the keys to the facility where the absentee ballots were stored. He had access in and out, leading up to the election. I mean, he was basically running the election, and the mayor was allowing. The mayor, of course, is left-wing as well, so they're bosom buddies. But he basically turned over the keys, literally, to this Democrat activist. His name is Michael Spitzer Rubenstein. So just to give you, again, some of the background, this group, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, it provided funding for five cities in Wisconsin because, you know, they wanted to modernize the voting process. And there's been an investigation by this group called Wisconsin Spotlight that's starting to uncover the scheme, the voting fraud. This activist that was given the keys, he's actually from New York, but he is the head of Wisconsin's National Vote at Home Institute. So this is, again, another radical left-wing organization. There he is, the one that had the keys to where the ballots were being stored. Now, Sam pulled together some of this research. It says here the Green Bay City Clerk, Chris Teske, was so upset by what was going on that he or she, I guess it is, resigned in protest. This happened before the election. This goes back to weeks before November the 3rd, because Spitzer was allowed to come in and cure the ballots. You know, if there was a problem with this ballot or that ballot, he would fix them. This is a Democrat activist. He was in charge of fixing it all. And so this Teske resigned in protest. And then it was I think it was on October the 22nd, so just a week or two before the election. And this Wisconsin Spotlight says that Spitzer essentially became the de facto city elections chief. And all of this, again, a lot of it funded, supported by Mark Zuckerberg. Time Magazine has since bragged about the operation they had in place. They had all of the rioters prepared to go. And what the Time Magazine piece didn't spell out in as many details is that they had all of their activists working to cheat as well. The emails are damning. The Spitzer, he wanted to have a live stream of the counting process so that people couldn't come into the actual room where the counting was being done. He didn't want any oversight. He certainly didn't want any Republicans in there. So he said, hey, don't worry, don't worry. And you remember the footage of other areas where they were boarding up the windows. They didn't want any observers in there. So he said, hey, go over to this room and you can watch the grainy footage that's an angle from, you know, pretty far away. And you can observe the election process. In fact, you couldn't really see much of anything. These are the sorts of things that were going on in Green Bay, in Milwaukee, in Philadelphia, in Detroit, in Atlanta. Just in these states, or rather these counties, these big cities, Donald Trump in 2016, he won Brown County. This is the Green Bay County. He won it, let me see if I can see it here. Trump got 67,000 votes. Hillary Clinton got 53,358. So he beat Hillary Clinton in this county by something like 14,000 votes. This year, or rather last year, 2020, Donald Trump actually increased his vote count by 8,500. He performed even better. And as of course the president has noted, this was across the board, across the country. He performed better. 75 million votes, at least. It's probably much more than that. But he performs better in Brown County. Joe Biden, incredibly, increased his vote tally by 12,000. And you don't see this trend anywhere else. Certainly not like this. But in this county, he managed to pull in 12,000 more than Hillary Clinton. I say increased his vote. I mean on top of what Hillary got in 2016. So he narrowed that gap. This is just the county around Green Bay. You've got Milwaukee. You've got other big cities. Donald Trump lost Wisconsin, I believe, by 20,000 votes. And we've played the montage before about the huge ballot dump that happened in Milwaukee. 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and all of this going on in the dark of night, all of this pushed Joe Biden over the edge to victory. So we're supposed to believe. Green Bay, as I say, it's located in this county, Brown County. Here's a quote from the Green Bay Press Gazette. It says, the Brown County posted unofficial results around 6 a.m. Wednesday, 10 hours after polls closed. The delay stemmed from a surge in absentee voting in Green Bay. So they had this surge, and it happened in the middle of the night, just like Milwaukee, just like Detroit, just like Atlanta. Remember Atlanta, they were pulling the ballot boxes out of the table, from underneath the table, and then they started counting them, sometimes counting them two, three, four times each. No wonder they're trying to cancel this. No wonder they're trying to delete this. No wonder they don't want you talking about this. Who's even talking about this Green Bay story? The fact that this Democrat, you've got Just the News. What else? You got Gateway Pundit. Is anyone else writing about this? Is anyone else talking about this? Of course not. Because if you do, you're going to be deleted. You're going to be deleted from YouTube, from Facebook. You're not going to talk about it on Fox. You could be fired. Lou Dobbs was fired. They got rid of him. And so they're silenced. And we'll get to more on that story here in just a moment with the ongoing fallout from Meghan Markle. You don't dare criticize her. She's a quarter black. Don't dare criticize Meghan Markle. Otherwise, you'll be silenced. Just like Piers Morgan. There's another editor in the UK. He had to step down as well. He made the mistake of criticizing her. I'll come to that in a second. This is that Green Bay Press Gazette. It says the delay stemmed from a surge in absentee voting in Green Bay that required election workers to work overnight counting ballots at the KI Convention Center. Green Bay officials had warned in advance that ballot counting would take longer than usual because of a record number of early votes. Biden carried Green Bay with about 4,000 more votes than Trump, 25,000 to 21,000, and was able to flip five voting wards that Trump won in 2016. Well, well, well. He was able to flip it. And he had some help from guys like Michael Spitzer Rubenstein, a radical leftist, a Democrat operative. The mayor of Green Bay just gave him the keys to the facility where the absentee ballots were stored. You know what's interesting, and Sam noted this earlier this morning. Here, these organizations, the Center for Tech and Civic Life, I mean, it always sounds just perfect, right? They're funding hundreds of millions. They're putting it into these specific counties and cities in an effort to modernize the election counting process. And in every single one of these counties, it took not one night of counting. It took days. They had to count through the night. In some cases, they had to count for the next several days. Well, so much for modernizing things. It seems like they're going backwards. All these other counties right across the nation. Florida, they had all their results the night of. But in these areas that were supposedly modernized, so many problems. You know, there was also a story out of Green Bay about the counting process that stopped because the printers ran out of ink. And then that story was later debunked. Similar to the story down in Atlanta. Yeah, we had a water main break, so we had to stop everything. I mean, these people were just lying and cheating through the night and for days on end until the media, the propaganda media, anointed the fake president, fake Joe Biden, the basement Biden. They anointed him the president of the United States a few days after November 3rd. And then we were told, that's it. No more talk about the counting process. No more talk about fraud. No more talk about any of this. We just move on. You can't even discuss it. And as I say, you see a similar storyline coming out of the UK. Here are these two young people. Here are this woman that had nothing whatever to do with the British royal family until about 3-4 years ago. She gets on TV, there's millions of viewers watching, and of course it just confirms, and everyone, as far as the media is concerned, it just confirms the fact that here is another traditional institution that's been around for centuries, and we've got to take it down. We've got to attack it because it's racist. There's systemic racism through and through. What about the other side of the story? We don't need it. We don't need it. We've got all the facts that we need. We've got Megan's truth. We've got her truth. We've got Oprah's truth. And shamefully, we've got Harry's truth as well. Let me just play for you again a bit from that interview on Sunday night. This is the clip where Megan makes this preposterous claim. And then you hear Oprah Winfrey's reaction. It's just perfect for television. Two award-winning actresses. That's what it amounts to. Here's clip one.
You certainly must have had some conversations with Harry about it and have your own suspicions as to why they didn't want to make Archie a prince. What are those thoughts? Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because of his race? And I know that's a loaded question, but...
But I can give you an honest answer. In those months when I was pregnant, all around the same time, so we have in tandem the conversation of he won't be given security, he's not going to be given a title, and also concerns and conversations about how dark his skin might be when he's born.
What?
What? What? That really happened? Two award-winning actresses. 2 hours this interview went on, and Oprah's show, she lied about the press coverage. She said that the UK press, they went right after Meghan Markle because she was black, a quarter black. They went after her. And while this was going on, this interview, they showed all these headlines to make it look like the UK press was racist. The press in the UK. And it turns out now that about a third of the headlines that Oprah's people put up there, they were from publications outside the UK. So they weren't even UK publications. This is the kind of dishonesty and deceit that we have to put up with all the time. And then, even worse, they manipulated the headlines. Oprah's people did this. Yeah, they just took a bit of a headline to make it look like she was coming under attack from the UK press right and left. And I mean, these institutions, the press in the UK, they're racist. I'll give you an example of one of the headlines that they edited. They put up one on the screen that said, "Meghan's seed will taint our royal family." That's the part that they showed. When the actual headline said, "Meghan's seed will taint our royal family, UKIP chief's glamour model lover, 25, is suspended from the party over racist texts about Prince Harry's wife-to-be." So they left out that part, the subtitle. And they just showed the title as if this newspaper was racist. It's unbelievable. The print version of the headline read, "Vile racist attack on Meghan by mistress of UKIP chief." The paper said this is a vile attack on Meghan, and there's no excuse for it. But Oprah's people, well, they just took a little bit of that headline, put it up on the TV Sunday night, and said, "Look, everything she's saying is the truth. Look at what she was going up against. The whole nation was against her because she was black." And this just confirms in our minds systemic racism. Another headline. "The real problem with Meghan Markle, she just doesn't speak our language." This was from a satire section from The Telegraph. Of course, she's not British, right? So it was satire. It was in The Telegraph. They don't show any of that. There's nothing in this piece, nothing whatever, about race. But here's Oprah's people, yet again, putting it up on the screen, selectively editing, to make it fit within their narrative, to make it align with what this woman was saying to millions and millions of people. Ian Murray, he's the executive director of the Society of Editors. So he presides over editors of publications in the UK. He was forced to resign after he defended the UK press. He said, "Look, Oprah's dishonest here. I think the press, I mean, they've certainly criticized Meghan Markle, but they're not racist." So this guy comes out, he defends the UK press, and he has to step down. He gets canceled. Because you don't dare criticize Meghan Markle, or Oprah for that matter. If Oprah's people manipulate the footage or whatever it is, that's just part, hey, it's their truth, you see? It's their truth. You can't question that. He did, Ian Murray. And so he gets canceled. Listen to Don Lemon's take from CNN last night. This is clip two.
Also, people say, "Well, we haven't heard from the other side." What's the other side going to say? They're going to say, "Of course, we're not racist," or whatever. But what did they do? Think about their actions. They did not stand up for their own, because their own was married to a black woman, had a black child. They didn't listen to him inside of the royal family. They let him go. They let him leave the country. They wouldn't come to terms with what they wanted to do. So, listen, we've only heard from one side, but that one side at this point rings very true.
That's a newsman That's a newsman saying we only need one side of the story here. It rings true. It confirms everything I've always believed about the British people and the monarchy. You know, 2 seconds ago, nobody in American media circles even cared about the British monarchy. Now it's all that they can talk about. Now, I mean, they've got to rush to the defense of Meghan Markle. And for those people that say we need the other side of the story, we don't need it. What does the proverb say? He that is first in his own cause seems just. The first one to come forward seems just. It says, but his neighbor comes and searches him. That's Proverbs 18 and verse 17. Don Lemon says, we don't need the neighbor to come forward and speak. We have enough details. We have all that we need. The Queen's Lord Lieutenant, by the way, Queen Elizabeth, he's a black man. Her lieutenant, he wrote an article saying the royals, well, here's what he wrote. In 2015, Her Majesty the Queen appointed me as her Lord Lieutenant of Greater London, the first British-born non-white holder of this ancient post. As a result, I have had the privilege of meeting all of the members of the royal family on many occasions, and I can confirm that they are charming and inclusive, this black man says. Talking about someone who accidentally, this is Richard's comment. He's talking here about someone who accidentally caused offense. It says, his error was a benevolent one. He was kind and civilized. And I still believe that, by and large, our nation is too. Certainly, we take our lead from our monarch. And indeed, all the royal family who remain a shining example of probity, inclusivity, and decency. This is from someone on the inside, who is black, by the way. Don Lemon doesn't need his account. Don Lemon doesn't care about his story or his truth. It says, in my years of working closely with them, I have never once encountered the slightest hint of racism. Indeed, in all they do, they strive to repair rifts, not create them. Look at how they've reacted to this despicable interview on Sunday night. The Queen comes forward with a statement that's dignified, that's seeking to heal a rift. A rift, by the way, brought on by Harry and Meghan. Don Lemon makes it sound like it's the other side that just ran him off. Wasn't that at all? He doesn't even get the facts right. And then he concludes by saying, we don't need the other side of the story. Thanks. This is CNN. This is dreadful. This is despicable. These are abominable acts of deceit, dishonesty, lies. Their so-called truths. Cancel culture. You get up and criticize this, and, well, you're going to have to step down. Just like Piers Morgan did. Here's CNN reporting on the complaint that Meghan Markle, she submitted a complaint to ITV. This is where Piers Morgan worked. Okay, Piers Morgan gets up on Monday. He says on TV, I don't believe her. I don't believe her. I don't believe a thing she says. And what does she do in response? This is the same woman who a few years ago said, I don't even listen to the press because I get bad press, so I'm not going to let it bother me. She files a complaint immediately and says, hey, you can't let Piers get away with this because what about those people that have mental issues? They might be intimidated by someone like Piers Morgan. This is how CNN reported on Meghan Markle's formal complaint against ITV, clip 3.
CNN has just learned that Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, lodged a formal complaint with ITV Network following Piers Morgan's on-air comments about her mental health. Morgan stormed off his morning show on Tuesday amid very heated discussions about Markle. CNN's Max Foster live in Windsor, England, with all of the breaking details. What's the latest, Max?
You know, there are huge amounts of complaints to the British regulator Ofcom about Piers Morgan's comments, really, about the Duchess following that interview with Oprah Winfrey. They were very personal attacks. I think he would accept that. Ultimately, he had a conversation with the chief executive of ITV, and he resigned.
So he resigned, or either was pressured, fired, whatever happened there. He worked for ITV, the morning show on Monday, and then Tuesday he's gone. Just like that editor, Ian Murray. You can't criticize her. You just have to believe. You just have to go along. Here's Piers Morgan on Fox News yesterday talking about this attack brought on by Meghan Markle. Clip four.
I thought it was 2 hours of disingenuous, horrible, one-sided, self-serving, delusional claptrap.
What do you believe is false? Do you? I assume you didn't agree with it. Do you think is she telling the truth? Because we're not going to hear from the Queen, probably.
I believe Meghan Markle if she gave me a weather report. Honestly, I think it was the acting performance of her life. It was designed to portray her as the ultimate victim. She even at one stage says that being imprisoned in a palace was somehow similar to what people are experiencing in the pandemic lockdown. Well, tell that to people living at the top of high-rise buildings with three kids trying to homeschool them with no job to pay for their food on the table. It was utterly ridiculous from start to finish. But Meghan Markle, I expect this from. I think she's played us in the UK and the royal family as a bunch of mugs. I think she'll emerge as a heroine to the liberal crowd in America today with the narrative of being a poor, vulnerable, massively misunderstood, biracial victim of a white racist monarchy and royal family.
That's Piers Morgan yesterday sticking to his guns, and good for him. He's already stepped down. He's already been canceled. But he says, look, I watched that 2 hours, as he said, of disingenuous, horrible, one-sided, self-serving, delusional claptrap. That's what it was. And in the UK, you've got to be careful, because if you say that, you could be canceled. You could be canceled. Here's another bit from his interview with Fox News, clip five.
But the inferences in this interview The royal family is harboring racists, and in particular, the one of them may be the Queen, because Meghan Markle lies, frankly, there's no other word for it. She says that the baby, Archie, will not be a prince because they want to change the rules to stop him becoming a prince because of his skin color. It is an absolutely outrageous lie, and the only person that decides titles like princes is the Queen. So she is directly inferring the Queen is a racist, changing the rules because her son is from a biracial mother and father. It is utterly extraordinary. And you think this is happening at a time when Prince Philip is lying seriously ill in hospital in his fourth week of hospital treatment, aged 99 years old. I expect this from Meghan Markle, but what is Prince Harry thinking? It is a dereliction of all loyalty to his country.
That's Piers Morgan standing up for Queen Elizabeth. The monarchy. Not very many people do this today. Now, we've had a lot to say about the fall of the British monarchy since 2017 in particular. We see it in rapid decline, and this is just another nail in the coffin, really. It's been around for centuries, this institution, this all of this tradition. And it's a mighty big target in the eyes of the devil. Let's blot it out. Let's blot it out. And there's one voice at least who rises in defense of all of that tradition. And really, a lot of it, there's problems through and through. We've covered that before with the family, the royal family. But the Queen at the top, she's, for the most part, a decent woman who loves her country. Piers tweeted this out yesterday. On Monday, I said I didn't believe Meghan Markle in her Oprah interview. I've had time to reflect on this opinion, and I still don't. If you did, okay. Freedom of speech is a hill I'm happy to die on. Thanks for the love and hate. I'm off to spend more time with my opinions. And as part of that tweet, he posted this quote from Winston Churchill, who said, "Some people's idea of free speech is that they are free to say whatever they like. But if anyone says anything back, that is an outrage." So for 2 hours on Sunday night, Meghan Markle, she can say whatever she wants. She can insinuate whatever she wants to about the Queen, as Piers Morgan just said. All of this nonsense about Archie, you're basically saying that Queen Elizabeth is a racist. So she can say that, no problem. But if you dare say anything back, that is an outrage that must be punished. Listen to Piers Morgan as he talks here in this next clip about free speech. Clip 6.
I believe in freedom of speech. I believe in the right to be allowed to have an opinion. If people want to believe Meghan Markle, that's entirely their right. I don't believe almost anything that comes out of her mouth. And I think the damage she's done to the British monarchy and to the Queen at a time when Prince Philip is lying in hospital is enormous and frankly contemptible. So if I have to fall on my sword for expressing an honestly held opinion about Meghan Markle and that diatribe of bilge that she came out with in that interview, so be it.
So be it. Good for him. Good for him. You know, he used to work at CNN. He's left wing. This is the left. This is the propaganda media canceling their own. They're doing it with Governor Cuomo now. I think they'd rather take him down with the Me Too movement than to actually admit that he is responsible for the deaths of thousands. But they cancel their own. If they're done with you, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. Just get rid of them. Meghan makes the phone call. Next thing you know, Piers is gone from ITV. That's it. It's over. You don't question her. You don't dare question her. You question Queen Elizabeth. This is Tucker Carlson, his segment last night on the Piers Morgan firing or resigning, whatever it is, clip 7.
But there's another way to handle those attacks, and it comes from our friend Piers Morgan, whom we told you last night just left his job on a British morning show after failing to be sufficiently impressed by that whiny duchess from L.A. complaining about how hard her life is. Now, Piers Morgan knew what the script was supposed to be. "Oh, you poor oppressed duchess." But he refused to read it. So now he's unemployed. Today, Piers Morgan issued this statement, quote, "On Monday, I said I didn't believe Meghan Markle in her Oprah interview. I've had time to reflect on this opinion. And I still don't. If you did, okay. Freedom of speech is a hill I'm happy to die on. Thanks for all the love and hate. I'm off to spend more time with my opinions." So like Winston Marshall, Piers Morgan is out of a job tonight. But unlike Winston Marshall, Morgan told the truth. He refused to let the mob make him lie. And that is an inspiration to all of us. Piers Morgan just reminded the world that some things are more important than having a job, like your dignity and your self-respect. History will treat him well.
That's Tucker Carlson's take on what's happening in the UK this week. He refused, Piers did, he refused to let the mob make him lie. See, you've got to go along with the lie. Read Romans 1. What happens when you turn away from God, when you're not grateful, thankful? Or 2 Thessalonians 2, you're probably more familiar with that passage. But Satan loves it. He loves it when the mob pressures you into accepting the lie. He intimidates. And in this case, I mean, I'm sure Piers is pulling down a pretty big salary. Lots of pressure coming from the mob. Trying to hold on to your job? But he refused to let the mob force him to lie. We see a lot of that happening in the world today. People who are pressured into accepting. What if, going back to that Green Bay story, what if there was a Republican mayor and a Republican operative given the keys to the holding facility for absentee ballots? Do you think the Supreme Court would just kind of turn a blind eye to something like that if it was brought before them? Do you think the Democrats would say, hey, the election's over, never mind who this operative is, let's just move on, right? Let's just move on. Of course they wouldn't do that. They would demand a recount. They would demand a new election. They would be talking about fraud from day one till day whatever, nonstop. It would never end. But these are the people that so many weak, as I've noted before, so many weak Republicans just want to surrender to and try to make peace with. See, Pierce, like Tucker brought out, the script says you just compromise with your principles and beliefs and you make peace with this whiny duchess. You make peace with her. You let her have her truth and don't dare criticize it. What a world. It's an upside down world. I mean, Revelation 12, Satan has been cast down to this earth along with all of his demons. And what does the Bible say there? It says, woe unto the earth and the sea even. Woe unto the earth. There is a real spirit world. And we better wake up to that fact and draw near to God and resist against the devil, like the Bible says, so that he'll flee from us, because he is bombarding the airwaves with his attitudes and moods. He is filling this earth with violence and division and strife and lies and deceit. And only a few really have the courage to stand up and speak the truth. Donald Trump, to his credit, he's not going to let it go. I'm sure he's reading stories like what came out of Green Bay this past week and saying, I knew it. I won it by a lot, as he said before. This was an easy victory, November 3rd, for Donald Trump. Now, Joe Biden, the illegitimate president, he's coming under a lot of pressure to just speak because he's still hiding for now 50 days, I guess. 50 days. One question here and there, and that's it. Tonight he's got a speech. I don't think it's going to be on the border crisis. It'll probably be more focused on vaccinations and COVID-19 and so on. We're a year on from it. But if there's any kind of commemoration, if this is kind of a one-year on look back, who wants to even look back on this disastrous, dreadful year where everything's been shut down? But there have got to be quite a few people in the Biden administration who are thankful for COVID-19, the pandemic, the lockdowns, and all the absentee ballots, and all of the funding coming from Zuckerberg and others. Hey, we've got to modernize. They really modernized it down in Georgia. All those Dominion machines, all those glitches, all those shutdowns in the middle of the night. The printer's out of ink. There's a water main that broke. We don't need any Republican observers. Everything's going to stop. Oop, there's a big ballot dump, 3 a.m., huge in Milwaukee. I mean, even the commentators, we've played the montage before. The commentators on Fox, well, how long does it take them to count all of this? Well, I mean, they need their sleep. Come on now. It's just the U.S. presidential election. They've got to go home and get some rest. And then they come back and voila, there's tens of thousands of ballots. And they're all for Biden. What a fraud. Biden's going to speak tonight. And as he does, you should know there is a crisis of crises at the border with all of these children just streaming in to the United States of America. And their parents have turned them loose because they know the border is wide open. And they know if the children get in, then the parents can soon follow. And so they're having to build more cages. They're having to create more cages for the children. Listen to the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. This is the Lieutenant Governor of Texas discussing the crisis at the border. This is clip 8.
And now this is not a crisis. This is a full-blown disaster that they've created. They've created this. And the idea they want to build more holding areas for the families and the people who come over illegally, what they need to do is close the border. It's wide open. Bill, I've been working on the border in Dana for nearly 16 years. A lot of trips. I've been all over the border. Day patrols, night patrols, you name it. This is the worst I've seen. We've had some higher peaks at times. This is the worst. And what really makes it bad is that there's no end in sight.
The worst he's seen, and there's no end in sight. There's just this massive surge of illegals streaming into the United States. And all you can really get the Biden administration to admit is that there are some challenges. But they're not going to say it's a crisis. It's kind of like the rioting last summer. It's mostly peaceful. Another lie. Here's someone in a border state, Texas, right, who says it's the worst he's ever seen. And what does the fake administration do? They pretend it's not a problem at all. And as the children are ushered into cages, they say, look, this is the humane thing to do. They weren't saying that, of course, during Donald Trump's administration. You know this. But it doesn't matter. It's different now because you've got a compassionate Democrat at the helm. And so everything's working perfectly. It's just the way, if there are some problems, you can blame the guy that was at the White House previously. Here's another clip from the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, clip 9.
We're talking about millions of people who are being victimized by the Biden administration. And by the way, their Border Patrol agents have not, to my knowledge, been vaccinated. We're vaccinating our people down there. And so they're susceptible. Their own government employees are susceptible to getting any disease or illness that's coming over. We know health care is bad in Central America. We've already arrested nearly 1,000 criminals in the first 2 months of the year, just in the Texas sector. It is absolute disaster, and President Biden is nothing more than a prop of the left. He has no idea what's going on down there.
Nothing more than a prop. We touched on this yesterday on the program, the cognitive decline that now everybody is noticing. Sean Hannity had this to say on his show last night, clip 10.
Anyone with eyes and ears can see and hear that Joe is not totally fine. Our sources close to the White House are describing how complete panic has set in all things Biden's world. Yesterday's brand new Rasmussen poll revealing half of the country is now worried that Joe Biden is not physically or mentally up to the job has added dramatically to the behind-the-scenes panic in the Biden White House. A brand new op-ed in the Washington Times reads, quote, "It's time to question Biden's mental health."
It's time to question it. Well, we know that the one behind all of this, as I said yesterday, the puppet master, that would be Barack Obama. And he's carefully arranged for everything, including Kamala Harris as the vice president, so that when they're through with him, Biden, like they're through with Andrew Cuomo, they can just shove him aside and say, that's enough. You've served your purpose. And now it's time to remove the prop. I'll just refer you here at the last to our Trumpet magazine, President of the United States. This is, as you can see, the asterisk is there. This is the April edition. And my father's article, Why I Still Believe Donald Trump Is Coming Back. There's another one in there about how that Israel has no help, as I stressed on yesterday's program. So there's a lot packed into each of these Trumpet magazines. And if you haven't subscribed to this publication yet, make sure that you do so. Of course, you can get to a lot of the material in these magazines at our website, thetrumpet.com, and that's where you can also watch the live stream for this program, thetrumpet.com/live. We're going to depart just a few minutes early as I've got to rush across campus for a forum here in just a few minutes. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email us, td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.